Keep your Bibles open there. It'll be helpful. I wonder, we kind of got a TV just to watch the Olympics and maybe a bit more for me. But I've noticed just in the last week or so we've had it that there is a new show coming on after the Olympics finish. I think, is it called House Dads or something? Have you seen? House Husbands, thank you. Okay. And from what I can get just from the ads without having seen it, is that it seems to reflect that in our changing society, traditional roles within the family are changing. And as each family works out what is best for them. And so what we see around us is no longer is it the man alone who is the breadwinner in a family. In fact, today, men have often swapped roles with their wives as they become stay-at-home dads, while wives go back to work because they can earn more money or have better job prospects. And that kind of seems fine. We live in a society where we feel freer and freer to mix and swap traditional roles without too much heartache. But there are two roles, as we think about the Bible this morning, that are not interchangeable at all. And if we don't get them right, well, it will often only lead to heartache for us or pain, despair, even feelings of failure or worthlessness. And those roles that we need to be clear about are the roles we play and the role God plays in evangelism. And understanding them properly will actually free us to be even more involved in God's salvation through the spreading of the gospel about Jesus. Because as Christians, we should feel free to just start talking. Just start talking about the one who is at the centre of our lives. Last week, as we started this series, Tim helped us to see we are witnesses as Christians. Remember 1 Peter 2? Verse 9 told us, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And Tim helped us to think about not being bullied into silence while living godly, attractive and consistent lives. But for many of us, the thought of declaring God's praises to the world, to our family and friends or at work, to be a witness, well, let's be honest, it can be downright frightening. And it can cause all sorts of anxiety as we know what we should be doing, but what we find so hard to do. And really, I think the vast majority of that comes about because we get our roles all out of whack. You see, I think it can happen when we think we have to convince people of the truth of the gospel, that we have to change people's thinkings, that it is going to all depend on what we say to them. But the Bible says that is God's role. If you've got your Bibles open there at 1 Corinthians 3, have a look from verse 5. As the apostle wrote, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed. Each has the role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Clear? We don't convince or change people. God does. We can also have the problem of being a witness for Jesus because we think we need to be someone else or like someone else in order to share the gospel effectively. We think we can't do it because we're not like a John Chapman or a Tim Baxter or someone like that. But that is just not true. To be used by God, all we need to do is to be ready for the opportunities that God brings our way, whatever your personality. Sure, extroverts find it easier speaking to people, even in groups. But even whether you're more inclined to be an introvert or naturally shy, we need to know God has made us that way, and he's made us all different. Different personalities, different way of communicating to different people that God brings into our lives. But we do need to remember we are all to be witnesses, all of us, because we have something very special to speak about. And we see just a part of the different contributions people can make there to God's kingdom in that passage there from 1 Corinthians 3. Now, granted, this was written to the church in Corinth as a bit of a rebuke by the apostle. But we can still see a couple of points that are useful for us today as we think through being witnesses. For instance, if you see there, God has assigned Paul and Apollos different tasks. And although their verse 9 tells us they are God's fellow workers, whether they might sow or they water, verse 5, they're servants, just instruments to be used by God. And it is God who will bring the growth, and not even them. Sure, make no mistake, both parts are vital as God has planned it, and both will be rewarded. They have very important roles to play, desperately needed, but nothing happens. No growth occurs unless God gives it. We were at the McIntosh's on Friday for our Bible study group, and Warwick Stiller, down here in the front, almost front row, was asked if he had to not only plant a cotton seed and then water it, but make it grow at every point, how would he go? And he responded, well, the job's too big. I think he actually said, you'd give up before you start. Or something. Is that right? You're looking at me strange. Okay. That's not all right. And I think he kind of hit it right on the head that if we think our conversion, all of it is up to us, then we're going to think the job is too big and we won't get started. But thankfully, we can see from this passage, we are not responsible for the response of others to Jesus. We are not responsible. In fact, we have no power to give growth. God does it. And so we are to take heart that our responsibility is not in changing hearts. And that should actually free us to just start talking to people about Jesus. Not worrying so much. As we talk to friends, family, work colleagues, neighbours, the pressure should come off us. The outcome isn't up to us. God looks after that side of the equation. Our role, however, is to do the speaking, declaring God's praises. We are to be faithful in speaking for Jesus and speaking about Jesus wherever God has placed us, wherever we work, rest, or play. And with that, we need to be aware that sometimes God gives us the great privilege of seeing a seed grow. And sometimes we don't get to see it. But God is still at work. Sometimes we may be given the role of sowing the seed, and we won't see what God is doing. I remember I went on a mission trip out to Central Australia in 2004. We went to a couple of Indigenous communities, Epinara and Canteen Creek. We went with Australian Inland Missions, and Richard Davies, or Jungarai as they called him, told us of a man who had gone through those communities in the region telling people about Jesus for almost 10 years. And in all that time, he did not see one person come to Jesus. No fruit from his ministry. And after a few years in between, before Richard and Sue turned up, when they started telling people about Jesus, people flooded in response to hearing the gospel. But Richard told us he knew it definitely wasn't his doing. The seed had definitely been planted before he arrived, and God had caused an amazing amount of growth. And a few years later, Richard took that faithful man on a visit through the communities, and the guy just wept. He wept and he wept. He confessed he had thought his ministry had been a failure because he saw no results, no fruit. We need to trust God to do his work and just be faithful in ours. Don't give up. Remain faithful despite what your eyes are showing you. We each have a role to play, but it is God who will change hearts, and he will do it in his own timing. So be confident. Be confident, because we might be just one link in a long chain of moving someone towards knowing Jesus. And someone else might move them another step, and others even closer. We are simply God's instruments. We play a part at a particular time as he grows his kingdom. God will be at work in people before we speak to them, and he will continue to be at work in them after we have spoken. Their conversions don't rely on our one conversation. We are simply to play our part, and we ought to feel free to just start talking. And our Bible study groups are looking at ways we can be fruitful and just start talking, looking at some practical ways to be yourself and to steer our conversations forward to our life-changing message. And I think Martin made a key point for us last week, that to make this easy, we must look natural and take the easy opportunities. And we know we all do and say things a little bit differently, and that's more than okay. That is really good, because there's a lot of different people in our community. And yet, in a society that doesn't want us to talk about Jesus, we can find there is a temptation to be quiet, to not to speak, because really, the world sees the gospel as pretty unimpressive. But take heart, be confident, and remember the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 1. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." The gospel is God's power of salvation. That's where it is. So we aren't to be ashamed. Rather, we need to just start talking. And when we do start talking, I think something amazing happens. We actually find it gets easier every time after that, as we get into conversations. Now, sure, we live around people, and relationship building or bridge work needs to be done. But the bridge work is to be done to get the gospel across. We don't need to build dual carriageway bridges with four lanes going in each direction, completing a superstructure before we can get God or Jesus into our conversations. We actually need to remember, as we're told in 2 Corinthians, we are ambassadors for God, sent into the world to tell people about God and about Jesus, the one whom we serve. We need to take every opportunity God gives us. And really, talking about God in a natural and normal way in our conversations, I think, should be expected. It should be expected if God is at the centre of our lives. As we tell people how much God means to us, as we declare how we know God's in charge of the weather, or as we speak of how God is the giver of all the good things we enjoy, or of how God has answered our prayers, or as we talk about the Christian family God has given us to support and encourage us, especially through difficult times. How did Jesus himself put it? Albeit it's slightly different context. Out of the overflow of the heart, our mouths speak. In other words, our mouths will simply speak whatever our hearts are full of. And I know that's true. Because if you know anything about me, you know that I've loved cricket. I've probably talked to you about it. I've always loved cricket. I've always enjoyed playing it, and I delight in talking about it. And I don't miss an opportunity to talk about it. Yesterday I was playing golf in a comp for the first time in nearly 10 years. And even though we were playing golf, quite often there was a little chance to talk about cricket as something was brought up. I didn't miss that, no chance. Just the slightest opening's all I needed. And even without thinking at times, I managed to squeeze cricket into the conversation. It just kind of slips out of me, for better or for worse, as my wife can attest to. But that's because I don't have to do cricket talk with the boys or anything. But I am a cricketer, and it's in my heart. How much more should Jesus come out of my mouth if he is deeply in the centre of my heart? If our hearts are delighting in Jesus and set on him, if we know him as our Saviour King who gave his life for us, how could we not just start talking about him at some point in our conversations? Well, I think we're going to need encouragement with this. Because as we walk away from here, people actually want us to take Jesus out of our conversations, and we'll feel that pressure. But we need to keep him at the centre. Which kind of leads me into a challenge I have for all of us. Hopefully you've all been working on Tim's challenge from last week. Who can remember their 11 words? Anyone? I'll organise a chocolate prize or something. Anyone? Would you like to come to church with me next Sunday? Excellent. Couple of ladies down here. Top of the class. Here's my challenge. Keep working on Tim's. He'll be back next week and he'll be testing. No, I'm not sure about that. Okay, here's a challenge to help us and to encourage us. For this month of August, as we lead up to Back to Church Sunday, let's practice. Let's practice in our conversations over morning tea and look for opportunities to talk about God with each other and how Jesus is at work in our lives, and let Jesus spill from our mouths in a natural, normal, and real way, just in the safety of morning tea here amongst us. And as we do it, why don't we remind each other each week and help each other to see the opportunities and encourage each other when we do? And when we start, I'm sure we'll find it only gets easier. We don't go and do the Christian thing or do the Christian talk. We simply need to be who we are. People with Jesus at the centre of our lives. People with Jesus at the centre of the way we live and do things. People with Jesus just spilling, oozing from our mouths. It's not about doing, but about being. Being who we are. And remember, we have something very important to say. The news about Jesus' death and resurrection is something everyone needs to hear and respond to. Don't forget that. Don't be talked out of that. Our friends and family might see the gospel as unimpressive, but we know it is how we were saved and how they can be saved too. So be confident in the gospel and just start talking. Let's pray. Amazing God, we thank you for your great love for us, that you would send your Son to die for us. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be your people, to tell the world of your praises. Lord, help us as clay, broken, brittle vessels to play our part in the building of your kingdom. Help us to simply feel free to just start talking and sit back and see the growth that you bring forth. Help us to encourage one another and draw alongside one another in this task of being a witness for you in your world. And we pray this in Jesus' great name. Amen.